Would you take your Bibles, please, and let's turn together to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. While you're turning there, I just want to say a few things about what's behind the message that I'm going to be sharing with you today. Over the past month now, I've been just reading and following what's been taking place with this COVID-19 and for the unprecedented shutting down of the economy of the entire world. For the first time in my lifetime, we have watched the economies of all the great nations of the earth come to a standstill. The United States economy that was chugging along there very well with low unemployment and with tremendous job numbers. And then all of a sudden, we have this flu that comes up, this virus, and everything is shut down. We've been asked to do unprecedented things like do online schooling and don't go out without a mask and gloves and all the things that we've been required to do, stay-at-home orders in several states. And people are getting very antsy right now and starting to protest some of the draconian measures that some of the states have taken in all this. But I try to observe what's going on. I try to look into the Word of God. So I made it my own personal endeavor to get into the book of Daniel. Daniel really is the heart and soul of all prophecy in the Bible. Most of the books of the New Testament refer back to the book of Daniel. And so I wanted to go through and read and so forth. And I got very interested when I came to chapter 7 and some of the thoughts here of Daniel. Some of the chaos that had taken place in the nation that he was at, some of the visions that God was showing him disturbed him greatly. As a matter of fact, in two verses of this particular chapter, he points this out. Verse 15, it says, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit in the midst of my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. Then in the very last verse of this chapter, he says, hitherto to the end of the matter, as for me, Daniel, my cognitions much troubled me, and my countenance changed in me. But I kept the matter in my heart. The things that he saw disturbed him greatly. As we look around us and we see the things that are happening in our time, I think that there are some things in motion here that indicate to us that God is setting the table, He has been for some time, for the end of the age, the culmination of the ages. And this shows us how quickly certain things can take place that we never thought could happen. You think about the fact that we're able to see everything that's going on all around the world. I've had conversations with folks that I know in the Philippines. I've had conversations with those in India and different places around the world and had the opportunity to communicate with them. That wasn't possible 25 years ago, other than with a phone call or something of that nature. But now we have social media and the internet and devices that are handheld. You can see any event, anytime, anywhere today. Well, that's important in prophecy because we are told that when the two prophets are killed in the book of Revelation, that the whole world shall behold it. We see now that it's possible for the whole world to behold. But I want to share some thoughts with you from this particular chapter and some things that have come to my heart and mind. You know, the dream of Daniel, which led to the unfolding of the interpretation in chapter 7, took place during the time period of chapters 4 and 5. That's whenever all this happened. It shows a chaotic world scene, producing the rise of 10 kings, and then all of a sudden this 11th king emerges. He conquers three of the nations, and he emerges from nowhere. He's very small to start with, and then he becomes the most powerful being in the world. And this, of course, is a reference to Antichrist. And all of this happens in a very short period of time. This 11th leader becomes the most powerful figure among the 10 kings and the 10 nations that are brought forth in chapter 7. Now, understand something. Chaotic world conditions throughout history have always produced game-changing events. And I think we're going to see this as a result of this COVID-19. It may play out over the next year or the next few years, but there are serious things that are going to come about as a result of this month-long event and it'll probably be around for the next couple of months, depending on how many states come on board with getting their economies open back up. But as I meditated on this 11th nation and king that rises up, he's unique among all the 10 kings that are mentioned here. He is considered to be the most powerful figure. He has eyes and he has a mouth and he speaks great things, we are told, in this particular chapter. But what is astounding here is how quickly he is able to come to the forefront. And I'm going to get to that in just a few moments, but I want to share just a few things with you that I've learned through this whole event. Number one, how quickly things can change in just a moment of time. How quickly things can change. We were meeting on the 15th of March, or in that time period, in our local church. Now we're meeting on Facebook Live. We've been doing that now for a month now. How quickly things can change. It doesn't take long for life-changing events to emerge that stops everything that we know, everything that we love, everything that is commonplace to us. It can quickly change. That's a lesson that I've learned. Number two, I have learned how easy it is to take down the economic stability of the world. If you think that everything's just going to come back to like it was before, you're wrong. We are going to see that there are many businesses that will not come back after this. You're going to see a major push toward socialism and this idea of coming to a commonality of a type of government that is accepted worldwide. I think you're going to see these things take place in preparation for the emergence of the 11th king, the Antichrist. These things are very, very important for us to keep in mind. All it took was one virus to bring down all the economies of the world. We now have in America 22 million people that are unemployed right now. That is a staggering number. It's unbelievable to be able to see that. We're seeing tremendous amount of money being printed to try to get everybody some kind of a measure of an income during this time. How's that going to play out in the future? How is that going to work out? Normally, when you print that kind of money, you have inflation and you have all kinds of things. We don't know what that's going to mean. But one virus took down the economy of the world. Number three, how easy it is to take a narrative like our security and our well-being, our health, follow models rather than true statistics. For instance, a minor contagion that can kill, COVID-19 can kill, it's a deadly virus, but it's nothing like some of the previous flus that we've had, the H1N1, going back to the past 100 years ago to the Spanish flu that killed millions upon millions of people. We haven't seen that, and yet they've taken a narrative, our security and our well-being, they have followed models rather than actual statistics, and what's happened? We've jumped to another narrative altogether. That means security requires the taking away of liberty. That is the exact same principle of Antichrist. Your security, your health is contingent upon my government. That's the message of Antichrist. Read through the book of Daniel, read through the book of Revelation, and you'll see this to be true. The Antichrist will take away the liberty of believers and Jews, we are told, during the second half of the tribulation. He will be able to gain the support of the entire world because it will be for the benefit of the world. And they will target believers and they will target Jews in this process. They will receive the blame for all of that. We read that in Daniel chapter 7. Look with me, please. Verse 24. And the 10 horns out of the kingdom are 10 kings that shall arise, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be diverse from the first, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak great words against the Most High. Notice this. And shall wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of time. That 3.5 years, that latter half of the tribulation period. But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion to consume and to destroy it into the end. In other words, the promise there that Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, will take that all away from him. Number four, I want you to see very quickly how easy it is to manipulate the world's population and through deception cause people to conform. I read this week about an initiative by Bill Gates, who is the founder of Microsoft, a huge supporter of the World Health Organization. And he has been talking and writing about a matter of a master contagion since 2015. Very interesting. And he said it's going to be necessary for the world to integrate a cooperative, nationalized database of information about every individual, medical records, banking records, GPS location tracking, in order to control the spread of a contagion. I read this past week of a Wisconsin company who is offering to implant tiny radio frequency chips in its employees. And it says that they are lining up for this technology. It is being placed between the first finger and the thumb. It is a small little chip, and it allows these employees to be able to enter the premises. It allows them to be able to communicate with those that are a part of the leadership of that company. So far, it does not have GPS location, but it has all of the employee files, has all their information, their job tasks, all of the things that they are supposed to be doing. It's all recorded and there. One of the things that the leaders of this company said, that even though they have 50 employees that are participating in this, it was amazing how quickly these 50 employees lined up to have this. And he made this prophecy, he says, that we will foresee this kind of technology driving everything from making purchases in our office break room, marketing, opening doors, the use of copy machines, logging into our office computers, unlocking phones, sharing business cards, storing medical and health information, and using this as a payment system for grocery shopping. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. That's like reading the book of Revelation. Because the mark of the beast that will appear in the hand or in the forehead is going to control all aspects of life. And here we are in our time reading about a company in Wisconsin that's already embedding these in their employees and hoping to market this into the future. I want to give you a fifth thing that kind of stands out to me, and it's how easily a strong personality could step forward among all the international leaders and take the reins of power and rule the world. Did you notice this about the little horn that's mentioned here in Daniel chapter 7? We're told in verse 8 that he comes up from among the 10 kings and nations. And Daniel mentions two things about this little horn. Number one, this horn begins little in size and becomes larger and stronger than all of its associate horns, all of the kings that are mentioned, the 10 kings. He starts out little, but he comes forth and he gains strength and power until he is the most powerful. He overcomes three of the other nations to demonstrate his power and greatness, and he takes the leadership. This horn has eyes and a mouth, and it communicates great things that attracts the entire world. And then secondly, it says about this little horn that he seeks to wear out the saints. He seeks to destroy them. We know that the Lord will protect 144,000. They are going to be people that are raised up in this world to be witnesses and testimonies, and they will have the protection of God upon their lives. And Antichrist will seek to destroy them, but they cannot. Because they are shielded and protected by God. But there will be many Christians during that time who are saved during the tribulation period who will be martyred for the cause of Christ, and it will be Antichrist that leads the way in the second half of the tribulation to wipe any memory of Christianity or the Jewish nation off the face of the earth. Now, folks, I think it's important to understand that he will rise to the top in a time of great chaos. He will rise to the top and he will become the leader of this world, and the false prophet will come alongside and say, worship this one. He is worthy of your adoration. He is the second coming of Christ. These are some things, folks, that I have learned over this past month as I've studied God's Word, and I see all of these things. This is a dry run as far as I'm concerned. It's my opinion, I know. But this whole event is a dry run for the future and how the whole world will be brought to its knees and how easily a centralized government can take over and control. But I want to tell you something, Christian. You and I won't be here. You and I will be snatched off this earth, and we'll be caught up together to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. It may be today. It may be today. Would you bow your heads, please, in prayer? Father in heaven, I thank you so much for your word, and I thank you for the book of Daniel. What an encouragement it has been to me over the past several weeks, just reading through it and studying it, and especially chapter 7, which for the most part is a passage that is referred to often in the New Testament, in the Gospels, in the book of Matthew and Luke, and then also in the book of Revelation, where this particular chapter, which focuses on the revelation of Antichrist and how he comes forth in a time of great chaos and great disruption, and he gains great power, and he is able to rule the world and to provide results that are pleasing to a world population, and yet at the same time seeks to destroy Christianity and seeks to destroy the Jewish nation. All of these things are yet to transpire, but Lord, you brought us through an unprecedented time, and we're still in it. We don't know if this is going to be a regular norm to basically wear down the world to the idea that we need a centralized government that will take care of everyone, and we need someone who will administrate it. Father, I pray that today you would work in our hearts. This isn't weird. This isn't something that is just outlandish. This is Bible prophecy. And I pray that you would help us as believers to be ready for the trumpet to sound. Father, we pray that we might be looking for that coming, looking for that time in which you appear in the clouds to take us to be with thee. Lord, help us not to be so rooted in this earth, so rooted in our plans, that we're not watching and waiting for the soon return of Jesus Christ. Father, dismiss us now with thy blessing, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being a part of our service today. We look forward to having you back this evening at 6 o'clock. Dr. Watt will be preaching this evening. And also, we have a special guest who will be with us. Brother Kenny Hafner, missionary to Mexico, and his wife are staying on campus here. We've asked him to come and share a word of testimony this evening about what the Lord's doing in their lives, and so we look forward to having him come tonight and share that, and also for Dr. Watt to open the Word of God. So we encourage you to get some rest this afternoon, and we look forward to seeing you this evening. God bless you, and have a good afternoon.